It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It's always a good day when I wake up, sun is shining, take my puppy out for a nice long walk, and kind of smell the neighborhood. I let her kind of lead the way. I think it's more enriching for her if she decides which route we take. I love this show. I meet the most fascinating individuals. And of course, the next room is the official podcast of the Beautiful Dying Expo. So we're really starting to gain some steam and really starting to attract even more interesting people to join us. And it's coming up November 12th, 13th, and 14th. And today with me is Terry Daniels. Now, Terry is the founder of the Afterlife Conference. That had been going for 11 years. And then she thought, okay, I'm going to pivot. And they're rebranding it to the Conference on Death, Grief, and Belief. She's a hospice chaplain. She's author of 4 books, certified end-of-life advisor, as well as in death, dying, and bereavement. This woman is the real deal. So welcome to the show, Terry. I'm glad you could join us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you for saying I'm the real deal. I always say that to people that I interview as well, and it's quite a compliment, so I appreciate that.
Awesome. Well, I'm really glad you could be here today. You know, your website is spiritual, spiritualandgrief.com.
Spiritualityandgrief.com.
There you go. Okay.
Is one of them. And then for the new conference, it's deathgriefandbelief.com.
Okay, so let's talk first off, why the pivot from the Afterlife Conference to the Conference on Death, Grief, and Belief?
Pivot's a good word for it. So I've had the Afterlife Conference for 11 years. I've had every big name author and teacher in the afterlife business there, you know, from Raymond Moody and Melvin Morse, Eben Alexander, Anita Morjani, all the mediums that everybody knows. And it was getting to kind of be the same content over and over again every year. And basically, I felt like I don't think there's anything more I can teach in this particular framework on this exact specific content.
Okay.
And, yeah, I was getting a little burned out on it, and it was getting to be really challenging to find new thought leaders in the field. It's kind of the same people over and over again.
Right.
Plus, I was changing, and my interests were changing. So I finished my doctorate a couple years ago. I did research on toxic theology and religious beliefs and their impact on the grief journey, and that became my passion, and I wanted to talk about that instead of, yeah, we know there's an afterlife, we can get messages from our loved ones, we know there's no hell and no punishment, that's all great, but I want to go deeper into that.
Okay.
And I was also encountering a lot of people who were really struggling with some of those beliefs because they were in the process of breaking free of their childhood religions, and grieving people that I've worked with who, for example, if somebody's son died by suicide, they're worried that he's going to hell.
Oh, yeah.
Or hospice patients that I've worked with who are worried that they are going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they don't really believe in it, most of them, it's still in there somewhere, right?
Right.
It's just been told to us in our culture for so long. So I really got interested in helping people with that. And that's what the new conference is about.
Well, that's fantastic. So when can we expect the Conference on Death, Grief, and Belief to take place? And how can I help you with that?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm hoping to do it in July of 2022.
Okay.
And by the time this airs, hopefully I will have a venue. I'm in the process of looking for a venue now. I've got most of the speakers already confirmed. So at this point, I'm just, it's hard to find venues right now because so many of them were closed during COVID.
Sure.
And a lot of them are not right now on this day that we're talking. It's July 22nd. And at this point, a lot of them aren't even issuing contracts yet. And
okay.
They're all a little hesitant because we don't know what's going to happen with COVID. It's having a new surge right now.
Right.
So, and then with the other venues like hotels, they're going strong because they want to make back all the money they lost for all the canceled meetings during COVID.
Yeah.
So they're booking everything, but they've raised their prices tremendously. So it's been difficult to find a venue.
Yeah, I can see that. Any thoughts of doing a virtual thing like we're doing with the Beautiful Dying Expo?
Well, it'll be virtual, too. It'll be a hybrid.
I see. Okay, good.
So basically the attendees will come live.
Okay.
And most of the speakers will be teleconferenced.
I see.
It'll be mixed and matched, sort of like that.
Well, good for you. And I wish you well finding a venue. I'm sure it's been a difficult task on many levels with what we've been going through. So, So I really hope it all works out for you. So July 2022. So you're going to be involved with the Beautiful Dying Expo, and you're going to be leading the track on spirituality and mysticism. What's the goal, or what can we expect from that particular track for the Beautiful Dying Expo?
Well, we're not 100% sure yet. We still kind of just began building that track.
Okay.
But it's basically going to, my vision for it is that it's going to kind of pick up where the Afterlife Conference left off.
Okay.
That all the people who were the big fans of the Afterlife Conference and who are looking for that content that I'm no longer offering, at least not in the same form
right.
They'll find it at the Beautiful Dying Expo.
Okay.
That track.
Well, that's kind of cool then. That's really nice
That's where we'll have mediums, and we'll talk about after death communication and
good.
All the things that they're interested in.
Yeah, I have to say that's kind of I grew up really enjoying that side of things. I've always been a curious woman. And I was a curious young girl, and the whole mystical vibe has been my jam since I was just a kid. And
Me too, I understand.
Yeah, and I still really love it, and I do find that I'm finding deeper thought and with parallel universes and quantum physics and the overall belief that, we are energy, and so we just transfer forms, right? We're here,
right.
And then we're in the next room. So since you're from that mystical background, what do you suppose, or what do you hope or think is in the next realm or the next room?
Oh, I have learned not to answer that question. And that's part of the reason why I started this new conference. I know what I think is in the next realm and what I have personally experienced in the next realm. I know there are many, many realms, many dimensions in which our consciousness can exist, but I don't know what will happen to you in that dimension.
Oh, I didn't ask you that. I asked you
to anybody else. That's, I guess, what I'm saying is. And so one of the things that I'm trying to do with this new conference is to open the door to the possibility of uncertainty.
Sure.
And here's why, when you study this stuff from a multicultural perspective, what you find is that people in India have different NDEs than people in California, because they have different cultural and religious influences working on them. And so I can't say that, you go through a tunnel of light and the angels meet you and your loved ones are there. I know that happens for a lot of people, but I can't say that it happens for all people.
Sure.
So I've kind of moved into I don't know.
Yeah. But
here's
isn't that
the possibilities of things that could happen. Here's everything we've heard about.
Right.
Of
course, but I feel like you just answered the question by saying you weren't going to answer the question because, truly, none of us know. There is one thing for certain. Human beings are going to die. It's a matter of how and when. And
the other thing that I would say is certain is that our consciousness is not going to die.
Okay.
We do have proof of that through all the studies that have been done on near-death experience.
All right. That's what I was looking for. And, uncertainty is okay. I mean, I think that that's based in a realistic approach to what we're doing here. I mean, I don't know anyone that can say, I know for certain that this is what's going to happen. I'll tell you after I've gone through to the next phase and the next room, then I'll be able to, I had someone the other day say, that's a great question. Ask me after I've died.
Uh-huh.
And that, I love
exactly.
that.
But we have asked, lot of people after they've died.
Sure.
That's what near-death experiences are. So when
that's
people
true.
Say, nobody ever went there and came back to tell us about it, that's not true. Lots of people have.
Sure.
And we have really good scientific studies on this. And so I think, you know, that we can say, absolutely, consciousness continues. However, you may not know any people who say that they absolutely know what happens, and I may not know any people like that, but there are most of the people in the world who are religious in the Abrahamic tradition absolutely think that they know what happens.
Hmm.
And that's where we get into trouble, because what they think is the good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell and burn for eternity.
Yeah. Well, that's...
And they're the ones with the certainty, right?
Yeah.
With the most ridiculous, you know, doctrines of all, they're the most certain.
But again, you know, it is free will, and I honor everyone's approach to whatever they feel that they need while they're here, because I think we're all on a different playing field, right? No one is walking 2 seconds in my shoes, nor yours. So how do we have that experience? You can't share it with anyone. All you know is what you know with the energy that you have and possibly this particular life that you're going through, depending on if you think we just keep going. So it is, it's really beautiful. And I really admire everybody's differing opinions. I'm not out there to change anybody or to say this is the way it is. So,
well, admiring people's different opinions is one thing, but supporting them in using those opinions to terrorize other people is not acceptable. And that's the stuff that I have found, you know, in my research on toxic theology. I mean, I work with people who were raised in very strict religious families and, you know, essentially cults, if you will. And it does a lot of psychological damage to people. You know, there's even a diagnosis in the DSM, in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, for something called religious problem. And psychology is now beginning to understand that when you're looking at anybody's psychological state, you always have to look at their religious outlook that they embrace either by choice or by inheritance, because it has an influence on your well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would never, ever back anybody's terrorism approach to this or a fanatical situation. I'm just curious, and I'm very open to listening to other ideas, other thought, other ways to get there. You know, that whole concept of many doors to heaven or whatever you want to call is next. It comes down to free will. And so I think we have to be open-minded, and I think we have to also honor differing opinions, because who really knows? Seriously,
right.
Really, who has the truth, right? So,
right.
Well,
and the problem is those who think they do have the truth.
Mm.
And that's, you know, that's what I've come to sort of really make my passion now.
Okay.
Because I've seen so many people harmed by that when they're grieving and when they're dying, because of how much they've been told, here's the truth, we're the only ones who have it, this is the only truth, mm-hmm. and if you don't agree with it, you're going to hell. So, you know,
yeah.
This, and again, that was what my doctoral research was on. So
sure.
that's my thing now, and that's kind of what I'm going to work on going forward, and in the classes that I teach and in my next conference. And there will be a lot of people who don't like this.
Well, it's not going to be for everyone.
Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you're not, I mean, no one, there's going to always be someone that finds a reason to complain about anything, right?
Right.
So you just have to do you and allow people the freedom to do themselves and just keep doing what you're doing. Let's talk about grief for a moment. Tell me about your son. What was his name that passed away?
His name was Danny.
Okay.
And my last name is Daniel, because after he died, I changed my last name to
Aww.
His name.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So that's why I'm Terry Daniel.
Okay, so Danny passed away when he was 16, and you wrote you wrote a book called A Swan in Heaven. Talk to me about your son. Tell me about Danny.
So he had a rare metabolic disorder that was genetic. He was adopted. We didn't know about it until he was diagnosed at 10 years old and given 5 to 10 years to live. Mm. He, during the time of his illness, I was working with a channeler, a friend of mine who's an amazing channeler. I had just discovered channeling, and they gave me just incredible readings about my mission, you know, with Danny, like what we were doing here on Earth together and why all this was happening and the greater purpose of all of it. And they told me that I would be communicating with him a lot after he died. And now, in his illness, he had lost the ability to speak, and so we started communicating telepathically while he was still alive, which isn't unusual, because when you have a baby, you do that, right?
Sure.
With your baby. But 30 minutes after he died, I started having these really intense visions of him and long conversations where he basically said, "All right, I'm over here, you're over there. This is what we came here to do. Let's write a book. Let's get started. We have work to do." It's kind of like that. And so that's how I got started doing all this. And the first thing I did was become a hospice volunteer, because the process of being with somebody when they die is amazing. And he's the first person I ever knew closely that died. So, and it was such a beautiful process. Now, granted, you know, in terms of grief, I'm not saying it's just beautiful to sit and watch your child die. Of course it's not. But I was so prepared for it. I was fortunate because I knew it was going to happen, and I had years to adjust myself to it. And by the time he actually died, you know, his disease was so compromised, it was a blessing for him to leave. So, so I got very interested in the very spiritually pristine process of being with someone when they're dying. Mm-hmm. So I became a hospice volunteer, and in the early days of that is when I wrote the first book, A Swan in Heaven, which was basically dictated to me by Danny.
Awesome. Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with me, and I'm so sorry for your loss. You know, I know as a mother, you come on the planet and you have these beautiful little beings, or you adopt them and bring them in your life. You never ever think to yourself that they're going to go to the next realm before you, you know, it's not the supposed natural order of what we're here to do. And so
not in this culture,
right?
In other parts of the world, it's actually way more common than it is here. And people have more of an acceptance of it, but nobody wants their child to die. Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the child mortality rate is very high in other third world countries, especially. I understand that. So thank you for sharing that with me. And I'm going to read your book because I'm really fascinated with channeling, and I'm a big fan. So one of my dearest friends is just a brilliant psychic medium, and she's been on the show many, many times. And she is 100% so down to earth and so so gifted with being able to translate. So she's really something. So the Beautiful Dying Expo, it's November 12th, 13th, and 14th. It is a free event. I encourage you to go to beautifuldyingexpo.com and check it out. And Terry's going to be there leading the spirituality and mysticism track for the Beautiful Dying Expo. I love this. This expo is, we're now in our third year. I've been with them from the beginning. It's just super inspiring because there are all kinds of really creative, beautiful people, advanced health care planning, after death, end of life care, financial and estate planning. There's grief support. There's holistic alternatives. There's just all kinds of anything and everything around the death and dying positive death movement that you could imagine is going to be under one umbrella. So we're thrilled that you're joining us this time around. And it's great that you could bring your woo-woo crowd with you. So that's great. So are you letting the Afterlife Conference know that there will be this spirituality and mysticism track at the Beautiful Dying Expo?
Well, I'm working on my newsletter for next month right now, and I
awesome.
Have it in there as a link to your website. I haven't said a whole lot about it yet because I'm actually haven't received, you know, logos and materials and
sure.
things like that yet. So, but as soon as I get that stuff, absolutely, I will put it out there to my
That's awesome.
Network.
You know, you can just go right to the Beautiful Dying Expo, and there's a media thing. If you click on media, you can actually swipe copy. The logos are there. Everything you need is right there on the website. All the sample text and everything. So just a little FYI in case you do want to do that and you don't want to wait for somebody, because I know Michelle and Christy are up to their eyeballs in planning. So so good to have you on board with us. Is there anything as an end-of-life advisor? You're a certified end-of-life advisor. You've been involved with hospice. You have your doctorate. Is there something that we're missing about this life experience, about this the beautiful passage of dying? What is it that you would like to say?
Well, first of all, I'm not a certified end-of-life advisor. That's not a thing. I'm certified in death, dying, and bereavement by ADEC, the Association for Death Education and Counseling, and certified in trauma support by the International Association of Trauma Professionals. So I just call myself an end-of-life advisor, but technically I'm a pastoral counselor. I don't use that term because it sounds too religious and people don't know what pastoral means. Anyway, what are we missing? Oh my gosh, there's so much that we're missing. We're missing a healthy relationship with death, first of all. That's
okay.
The most important thing. And not just death, but loss. And so there's, I have a document that I use in my classes, a little chart of what's a healthy versus an unhealthy relationship with loss. And a healthy relationship with loss, means that you have a capacity for resilience, and you can take a couple of hard blows in this life. Some people don't have that because of just their own childhood trauma, the way they were raised, their innate psychological makeup, but an understanding of the natural ebb and flow of human existence, kind of like a Buddhist understanding that everything slips through your fingers, nothing can be held on to, and we allow transition to happen. And in this culture, in modern American culture, we're not good at that at all. And we, have this idea that we can control everything. We can protect ourselves from loss by our belief systems or our material possessions or any number of things, that makes us feel safe, when in fact we're not safe. And it's okay to not be safe, I think, is probably the biggest thing. So there's a really important book by a woman called Ronnie Janoff Bullman called Shattered Assumptions. And she talks about how in this life, in, first world life, I guess you could say, we function with these basic assumptions. And the assumptions are that life is basically good, and if you're a good person, you'll be kind of safe from bad things. And a lot of that comes from theology, I have to say. That's kind of my thing, and which tells us that, good people are rewarded and bad people are punished. Mm. And that seeps into every aspect of our lives, especially when dealing with loss. Mm. We have assumptions about everything, like we assume that our children are not going to die before we do.
Right.
We assume that, when we buy a house, that we'll be able to keep making the payments and won't lose a house. We assume that our marriage will last, anything that you can think of, and we don't have a healthy relationship with those assumptions. We're shocked when they don't prove to be true. So that's what I think is missing in, our indoctrination, our orientation in this culture to understanding loss and death being a type of loss.
Hmm. That's good. That's a lot to unpack and to ponder, because you're right. You know, there we do make assumptions, and that has been something that has been, you know, good things happen to good people. How often do you hear that, right? And it's not, you know, I know so many kind-hearted, compassionate, amazing people that have suffered just extraordinary tragedy, things you don't even want to think about or imagine. And so, yeah, I don't buy into that whatsoever. So that's good. So that book is by Ronnie. What was her last name?
Janoff, J-A-N-O-F-F, hyphen Bullman, B-U-L-M-A-N. It's kind of an academic book. It's kind of pretty, you know, thick reading.
Okay. Well,
studying psychology or interested in any of that would be very comfortable with that book.
Very cool.
So,
well, good.
I mean, I got onto this because of all the people I was working with, my hospice clients and my counseling clients and people who came to the Afterlife Conference and said things to me, like in my new book, which is called Grief and God, When Religion Does More Harm Than Healing, I have several case examples of actual people that I've worked with who've said things to me like, well, one woman who lost all four of her children in separate, unrelated events over the course of 25 years said, I thought if I was a good person and pleased God, something like this would never happen to me. But now all four of my kids have died, and all I can think about is, what did I do wrong? If I knew what I did wrong to deserve this, then perhaps I could correct it.
Oh, boy.
So that's the kind of thinking that we have. And I will also say that that's not just Judeo-Christian thinking. The law of attraction, as told by The Secret, says exactly the same thing in different words. And I've had people say the same thing to me, you know, from a different perspective. You know, I do all my self-care. I envision positive things. I say affirmations. I know that I create my own reality and I can manifest everything, but I'm still alone and I can't find love and I'm still poor and I still have cancer. And what am I doing wrong? So it's the same kind of theology wearing a different cloak.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, then it's been a very educational pivot for you. Terry Daniels is my guest today from the Afterlife Conference for the past 11 years. That's what it was called. Rebranding, the Conference on Death, the Grief, and Belief will be coming July of 2022. She's also going to be assisting us at the Beautiful Dying Expo this year, November 12th, 13th, 14th. It's absolutely free. Head to the website and just kind of register there. But she's going to be in the spirituality and mysticism track, which should prove to be very exciting. Any final thoughts before we close? It's been a quick half hour.
Yes, it has. I would just ask people to go to our website, deathgriefandbelief.com.
Okay.
And also my counseling and workshop website, which is spiritualityandgrief.com. And there's a lot of stuff we can be doing. You know, another piece of this, too, that I'm going to talk about in your track at the Beautiful Dying Expo is the use of rituals and ceremonies for processing loss and grief. So there's a lot of new material to be sharing right now out there. And it's exciting to be part of it.
That's fantastic. Well, we're very excited to have you on board, and it's going to be really a great year for us. I've been feeling like the doors are coming off. You know, there's just every time I turn around, I'm meeting somebody new through this show, and then I'm telling them about the Beautiful Dying Expo, and it's just growing. It's growing in a really beautiful and organic way. Terry Daniels, I will be sure to put all of your links in my show page, because we have that where people can read up on you, your bio, picture of you, and then they can click, go to your website, they can click, they can go to your conference, they can go to your Facebook page. So I'll include everything there. And also so they can go and check out your books, because you've written four books. So thank you so much for coming on The Next Room today. My name is Jane Asher, JaneAsherRainey.com. You can find out more about me there. Sign up for the podcast or the release of the upcoming book called The Next Room. Beautiful Dying Expo, November 12th through the 14th. Please join us. Love to have you on board. And you can follow the Next Room page on Facebook. Great, great community there. Really generous, compassionate, cool people on that page. And it seems to be growing every day. So, Terry, thank you so much for joining us on The Next Room.
All right. Thank you so much, Jane. It was great talking to you.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to The Next Room.